Hey, good morning. I'll be reading from Isaiah 58, verses 1 to 5. Cry loudly, do not hold back. Raise your voice like a trumpet and declare to my people their wrongdoing and to the house of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek me day by day and delight to know my ways. As a nation that has done righteousness and has not forsaken the ordinance of their God, they ask me for just decisions. They delight in the nearness of God. Why have we fasted and you do not see? Why have we humbled ourselves and you do not notice? Behold, on the day of your fast, you find your desire and oppress all your workers. Behold, you fast for contention and strife and to strike with a wicked fist. You do not fast like you have done today to make your voice heard on high. Is it a fast like this that I choose, a day for a person to humble himself? Is it for bowing one's head like a reed and for spreading out sackcloth and ashes as a bed? Will you call this a fast, even an acceptable day to the Lord? All right. First of all, I'm just really glad and feel very privileged to be sharing on Christmas Eve. Happy Christmas Eve to everyone. For those, if anyone's listening online, you won't get to see, it's really beautifully decorated here today, so it's especially special. Okay, anyway. So it's Christmas tomorrow, and as we approach the new year, around this time of the year, every year, I think many of us might be thinking, you know, we're really glad for Christmas, but at the same time, we're thinking about the upcoming 21 days of fasting and praying. Myself, this is certainly the case. The season of seeking God is meant to deepen our relationship with Him. But if we're honest, I think, fasting after all the feasting and all the festivities can feel like a very tough transition. I'm still looking forward to it. But recently, I've been reading R.T. Kendall's book, The Sensitivity of the Spirit, where he writes about the danger of doing things that seem righteous, but missing what God truly desires. In one section of his book, he reflects on Isaiah 58 and warns us that it is easy, so I quote him, it is easy to get so busy in doing righteous things, such as being active in church matters, and think that God must be thrilled. He may be nowhere near, but we carry on. These words made me pause and reflect. Am I doing things for God or with God? Is my fasting, or the fast that I'll be doing, you know, is it an outward act, or a time of inward transformation? And, the line where he says, you know, God may be nowhere near, but we carry on. And that is the last thing I want, you know, as I enter this coming fasting season. So Isaiah 58 is a prophetic call to God's people, exposing their hypocrisy and sin. They were performing religious acts like fasting, but their hearts were far from God. So some scholars believe that this passage addresses the self-righteousness of the Pharisees, while the others see it as a warning to all of God's people in Zion. And the focus of Isaiah's message is clear. God desires true fasting, not empty rituals, but hearts and lives that are transformed. So just breaking it down, in verses 1 to 2, if we focus on that, Isaiah begins with a strong rebuke, calling out the people for their hypocrisy. And on the surface, they seem devoted. They seek God daily, delight in knowing his ways, and claim to be a nation that practices righteousness. But their actions reveal their true hearts, which I'll be further explaining later in the later verses. And when I read verse 2, honestly, you know, these things look good, actually, in verse 2, what they're doing, right? Seek me day by day. There's commitment, delight to know my ways. So reading that, I feel like, oh, you know, they're doing what they're supposed to do. But when I read in in my Bible, the NIV version helps me understand a little more. It says, they seem eager to know my ways, as if they were a nation that does what is right, and seem eager for God to come near them. So these wordings, you know, are clearly show an outward appearance of holiness. And this helps us understand that God desires true fasting, not just outward actions, but, yeah, inward transformation, like I said. So just a reflection question is, are we aware of our own problems and sins? So in Isaiah's audience was blind to their hypocrisy, as we approach the season of fasting, and that's a question I want to ask myself, ask God to search, you know, my heart. Are there areas that I'm outwardly religious but inwardly resistant to him? And I'm quite thankful to be reminded by P. Samuel's sermon the other Sunday on owning our mistakes, being the first ones to apologize, and forgiveness, and how forgiveness is a form of surrender. And P. Sam also mentioned that in this past Sunday's sermon about, you know, forgiveness. So personally, you know, just hearing these sermons, this message, I feel like this is an area that I need to deal with, you know, entering the fast. There are certain people, you know, that have done things in the past that are, you know, obviously not nice, you know, in the workplace, you know, there are, certain people that try to take advantage sometimes by taking credit for things that, you know, that I've done, or, you know, blowing situation up out of proportion, and, you know, things that, you know, that personally I've experienced. And I feel like, you know, even though I'm no longer in the same context with, you know, these people, and I don't have to see them again. I don't have to do anything with them anymore. But when I speak about, you know, these things, or when I speak about things like that with my friends or my former coworkers, it becomes like, you know, I get very worked up. And then, you know, sometimes excited even, you know, just talking about these things, and it becomes very gossipy. And so while preparing for this, I was reminded that, oh, yeah, there are areas in my life that, like, you know, I think God is reminding me to deal with, you know, something to deal with in my heart before entering the fast. So moving on in verse 3, the first part, the people complained to God, why have we fasted and you have not seen it? Why have we humbled ourselves and you have not noticed? So they are blind to their own sin, and failing to see that, you know, their fasting was self-serving, and they disconnect from God's heart. And I find that pretty funny and ironic that the people, you know, in this verse, they were doing exactly the opposite of what, you know, truly humble people would be doing. They're like flaunting their humility, like, look, God, I'm so humble. But yeah, not only were they not humbled, you can sense that they were blaming God for not seeing how good they were. And in Proverbs 15:3, you know, it says, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, watching the evil and the good. So obviously, God didn't miss anything. But we can still be so prideful sometimes that we end up blaming God for our situations, and makes us all hypocrites. So a question I ask myself, do I blame God for, you know, my own shortcomings? Are we taking pride in our religious acts and missing the point of, you know, true humility before God? And as I reflect on previous years of fasting, I think there was one year I was pretty discouraged. I felt like I was doing, I'm doing all this fast, giving up on things, this and that, but I didn't feel any closer to God, and the things in life weren't going particularly well either. I was expecting a lot, but so I got to a point I was like, you know, what's the point in doing all this? You know, I don't even feel good. And it seems like things were smoother when I wasn't fasting. I think my problem here is that I wasn't focusing on God. It wasn't a fast that he desires. It wasn't about him. I was focusing a lot on my own situation, and I was equating that to, if things go well, then this is a good fast, and then God's with me. But things didn't go well, then this fast sucks. So this is what happens when fasting becomes self-serving. And the second part of verse 3 to 5, I mean, God exposes the truth. Their fasting is accompanied by strife, exploitation, and selfishness. He makes it clear that this kind of fasting is unacceptable. What God desires is not outward performance. He wants a heart that aligns with his will. And this reminds us that fasting disconnected from God's desire does not lead to answered prayers or spiritual growth. So, a question to myself. Do I understand God's expectations for fasting? So after verse 5, and I didn't read on, but in verse 6 to 7 of the same chapter, it goes, "Is this not the fast that I choose, to release the bonds of wickedness, to undo the ropes of the yoke, and to let the oppressed go free and break every yoke? Is it not to break bread with hungry and bring the homeless poor into the house? When you see the naked, to cover him, and not to hide yourself from your own flesh." So God laid it out the kind of fast that he desires. Instead of fasting in a way that is self-serving, so to use RT's words, these verses indicate that we must tune into God's heartbeat. So as I fast, I need to be actively listening to what the Holy Spirit is saying to me and act upon it. Then I will see the fruit of the Spirit. And as I act and pray according to the Holy Spirit, in verse 9, it says, "Then you will call, and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help, and he will say, 'Here I am.'" And it's a very comforting promise here. So true fasting is about surrendering our hearts to God, allowing him to transform us from the inside out. Are we willing to let go of these empty rituals and seek the kind of fast that pleases him? So instead of focusing on, you know, what I can't do during the fast, you know, I should be focusing on, you know, what I should be doing. So just to wrap it up, as we enter this fasting season, let's not fall into this trap of just outward performing righteous acts while missing God's heart. Let us instead humble ourselves before him and allow the Holy Spirit to transform us. Let's be available. So God desires true fasting, fasting that reflects his love, justice, and mercy. And really, you know, as we, you know, remove all distractions, just may our eyes really see what he sees. And yeah, may our fasting, prayers and fasting be pleasing to him. So let's go into a time of worship. Yes, Father, we long to, you know, seek your face every day, Lord Father, every day. And, you know, even more so, Father, as we prepare ourselves to enter, you know, the season of fasting and praying. And help us, Lord Father, to not just focus on our outward acts, Lord. I pray that it will be a time that our hearts will be truly transformed, and that we would humble ourselves and allow you to do work in our hearts and allow you to speak into our lives. Father, open our ears to hear what you have to say during this time. So yeah, Lord Father, we love you. We thank you for your word and your truth. And pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.